pure devotee, all the disturbance unto the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of God, whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 5, Narada Muni's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. And today's verse is 20. Idam hi Vishvam Bhagavan Ivetaro Yato Jagat Sthana Nirodha Sambhavaha Tad Dhi Swayam Veda Pavangs Tatapi Te Pradesha Matram Babataha Pradarshitam Idang hi Vishvam Bhagavan Ivetaro Yato Jagat Sthana Nirodha Sambhavaha Tadhi Swayam Veda Bhavan Satapite Pradesha Matram Bhavatak Pradarshitam Idang hi Vishvam Bhagavan Ivetaro Yato Jagat Sthana Nirodha Sambhavaha Tadhi Swayam Veda Bhavan Satapite Pradesha Matram Bhavatak Pradarshitam Idang hi Vishvam Bhagavan Ivetaro Yato Jagat Sthana Nirodha Sambhavaha Tadhi Swayam Veda Bhavan Satapite Pradesha Matram Bhavatak Pradarshitam. Please chant. Vaishnavis. Idang hi Vishvam Bhagavan Ivetaro Yato Jagat Sthana Nirodha Sambhava Tadhi Swayam Veda Bhavan Satapite Pradesha Matram Bhavatak Pradarshitam. Okay, synonyms. Idam, this. He, all. Vishvam, cosmos. Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. Iva, almost the same. Itaraha, Different from. Yataha. From whom? Jagat. The worlds. Stana. Exist. Nirodha. Annihilation. Sambhavaha. Creation. Tathi. All about. Swayam. Personally. Veda. No. Bhavan. Your good self. Tata api. Still. Te. Unto you. Pradesha matram. A synopsis only. Bhavataha. Unto you. Pradarshitam. Explained. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. The Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is Himself this cosmos, and still He is aloof from it. From Him only has this cosmic manifestation emanated. In Him it rests, and unto Him it enters after annihilation. Your good self knows all about this. I have given only a synopsis. Please repeat. The Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is Himself this cosmos. And still He is aloof from it. From Him only has this cosmic manifestation emanated. In Him it rests, and unto Him it enters after annihilation. Your good self knows all about this. I have given only a synopsis. So now we're going to hear Prabhupada's expansion of the synopsis. Srila Prabhupada's purport is a little bit lengthy, but please try to hear attentively. For a pure devotee, the conception of Mukunda, Lord Sri Krishna, is both personal and impersonal. The impersonal cosmic situation is also Mukunda because it is the emanation of the energy of Mukunda. For example, a tree is a complete unit, whereas the leaves and the branches of the tree are emanated parts and parcels of the tree. The leaves and branches of the tree are also the tree, but the tree itself is neither the leaves nor the branches. The Vedic version that the whole cosmic creation is nothing but Brahman means that since everything is emanating from the Supreme Brahman, nothing is apart from Him. Similarly, the part and parcel, hands and legs, are called the body, but the body as a whole unit is neither the hands nor the legs. The Lord is the transcendental form of eternity, cognition, and beauty. And thus, the creation of the energy of the Lord appears to be partially eternal, full of knowledge, and beautiful also. The captivated conditioned souls under the influence of the external energy, Maya, are therefore entrapped in the network of the material nature. They accept this as all in all, for they have no information of the Lord, who is the primeval cause. Nor have they information that the parts and parcels of the body, being detached from the whole body, are no longer the same hand or leg as when attached to the body. Similarly, a godless civilization, detached from the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is just like a detached hand or leg. Such parts and parcels may appear like hands and legs, but they have no efficiency. The devotee of the Lord, Srila Vyasadeva, knows this very well. He is further advised by Srila Narada to expand the idea so that the entrapped conditioned souls may take lessons from Him to understand the Supreme Lord as the primeval cause. Allah, we could give a whole class just on that first paragraph, but let's finish it all and then we'll try to say a few words. Continuing Prabhupada's purport. According to the Vedic version, the Lord is naturally fully powerful, and thus His supreme energies are always perfect and identical with Him. Both the spiritual and the material skies and their paraphernalia are emanations of the internal and external energies of the Lord. External energy is comparatively inferior, whereas the internal potency is superior. The superior energy is living force, and therefore she is completely identical. But the external energy, being inert, is partially identical. But both the energies are neither equal to nor greater than the Lord, who is the generator of all energies. Such energies are always under His control, exactly as electrical energy, however powerful it may be, is always under the control of the engineer. The human being and all other living beings are products of His internal energies. Thus, the living being is also identical with the Lord. but he is never equal or superior to the personality of Godhead. The Lord and living beings are all individual persons. With the help of the material energies, the living beings are also creating something, but none of their creations are equal or superior to the creations of the Lord. The human being may create a small, playful Sputnik and may throw it into outer space. But that does not mean that he can create a planet like the earth or moon and float it in the air as the Lord does. Men with a poor fund of knowledge claim to be equal to the Lord. They are never equal to the Lord. This is never to be. The human being, after attaining complete perfection, may achieve a large percentage of the qualities of the Lord, say up to 78%, but it is never possible to surpass the Lord or to become equal with him. In a diseased condition only, the foolish being claims to be one with the Lord and thus becomes misled by the illusory energy. The misguided living beings, therefore, must accept the supremacy of the Lord and agree to render loving service to him. For this they have been created. Without this, there cannot be any peace or tranquility in the world. Srila Vyasadeva is advised by Srila Narada to expand this idea in the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavad Gita, also the same idea is explained. Surrender fully unto the lotus feet of the Lord. That is the only business of the perfect human being. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pascha Tadesha Tarni Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Yamdadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Nvaisyavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangsha Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bando Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namosute, Taptaka Chanagorangi, Radhe Vrindabaneshri, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya, Vancha Kopaturubhya Shah Kripa Sindhuvya Evasha, Patitanang Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, there's a society called the Atlas Obscura Society, and they have very intelligently added the Bhagavad Gita Museum to their list of places to see in Los Angeles. So coming up, it's called the Atlas Obscura. Atlas, you know, like the world. Atlas Obscura means things that you may not know about. We're here to tell you what to see. So in LA, they've added the Bhagavad Gita Museum to their list of things to see in Los Angeles. And they come fairly regularly, right? They're coming on the third and the fourth. They're bringing group here. And I've dealt with them in the past. They've been coming for some years now. But the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavad Gita Museum that promotes the Bhagavad Gita is not meant to be obscure. This is supposed to be the most prominent thing in the consciousness of a real human being. Because we know the Bhagavad Gita is dealing with five subject matters, and these five subject matters, again, should be fully understood if we're actually a human being. So the first one is Ishvara. Ishvara means controller. Every one of us has a little bit of control influence in our sphere of existence, but none of us, if we're sane, can say that we control everything and everyone, unless we're on some kind of drug. I told you, I mean, I admit, when I was in college, actually it was just when I first came in contact with Krishna consciousness, but I was still doing some mind-expanding substances. So I thought one day, I really, really strongly thought that I'm controlling this New York City. I'm controlling everything here. And to prove it, I went to the gym, which I would do anyway, to shoot hoops. And I started experimenting that everybody who took a shot, I'm going to decide whether it goes in or it doesn't go in. And for a while, it seemed like it was working. But then at least I was smart enough to understand after a few minutes, no, I'm not really controlling this. I didn't want that one to go in and it went in. And I wanted this one to go in and it didn't. I'm not controlling. So we should come to that conclusion. We're not in control. Recently, here in California, people had very, very scary experience of how they're not in control. They built such huge fancy mansions in the Montecito area. Oprah Winfrey lives there. So many billionaires live in that area. But when the fires came, they had to evacuate like everybody else. And then after the fires, the rains came. Now all of us have experience with a little mud, especially ladies who use a mud pack, put it on your face. But when a wall of mud comes at you, you have no control. Some of the stories I've been reading on the news, so scary. One lady was there with her three daughters, and, you know, she said, at first she thought it was an earthquake, but, you know, because of the sound and the motion, but earthquakes usually are just a second or two. This thing kept going on and kept increasing intense. She realized, I got to get out of here. So she jumps in the car with the three girls. She's driving down the street, and then she realizes, I'm not in control of this car. The mud had taken it and was just pushing it everywhere, off the road, back on the road, everywhere. So our lives are like that. We think we're in control, and we make a plan based on being in control, but we're not in control. We're being pushed by the three modes of material nature, constantly. The three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, they're constantly fighting for dominance. So even though you may be born with, let's say, brahminical tendencies, you like to learn, you like to teach, you don't like to break the law, you're a good person in general, but if you don't go further to transcendence, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance is going to take over at some point. We've seen so many times where people say, I didn't think he could do such a thing or she could do such a thing. They were so nice, such a nice person. The mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, if we don't understand their influence and keep them at bay and aim for transcendence, then those modes will drag us down. We're not in control. This is the first thing a human being has to admit. I am not in control. There are forces beyond me that I have no control over. And one of those forces is the oncoming final moment, death. I have no control over that. Foolish people try to take control by committing suicide, but that's not the answer, because they don't realize that they survived the suicide experience. We all survive the death experience, no matter how it comes, whether it comes by a wall of mud, or suicide, or just old age, a body falling up, death will come. Now, we have to be prepared for that last moment, so that we can have the best situation after that moment. This is the whole scheme. So Narad Muni is telling Vyasadeva to explain this. Idami Bhishmang Bhagava Nivetaro Yatoja Gatstana Niroda Sambhava. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Himself this cosmos. It emanated from Him, is being maintained by Him, and in the end, it goes back into Him. Very, very simple point it may seem. But yes, if you don't understand that, then there's no question of understanding Krishna's Leela in the 10th canto. There's no question. So, as we see, Vyasadeva, in writing the Srimad Bhagavatam, even though Narada had chastised him that you didn't give people the juice, you didn't give them the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, still, he didn't jump right into Krishna's pastimes. First canto, second canto, all the way up through 9 cantos to understand these facts, that the Supreme Lord is Himself the cosmos, everything is coming from Him, everything is maintained by Him, ultimately everything is destroyed by Him. So take shelter. Take shelter of Him. Take shelter of Him. This is the whole point. Prabhupada ends his purport on that point. That Bhagavad Gita conclusion is therefore surrender. Surrender to Krishna. But we don't like to surrender. That's because we're outlaws. If you go into an outlaw camp and talk about surrender, they'll kick you out. They'll kill you. They don't want to hear about it. We're outlaws. We're strong enough to hold the government at bay or whatever they're fighting against. They think like that. So similarly, the foolish conditioned souls, they don't like to hear about surrendering to God. They don't like to hear about that. But we have to tell them about it. This is the point. Kali Yuga is not the yuga for messing around, you know, pitter-patter and being a little bit undercover. And no, this is not the age for that. And we see Prabhupada set the example for his society. International society for Krishna consciousness, not God consciousness. Go out and chant in the streets. Go out and distribute these books face to face. This is what people need. It's not the age for covering it over and, you know, maybe give you... No, smash them. Seriously, I mean that. Not literally. You know, we're not the kind of preachers that take the Gita or the Quran or the Bible and smash people over the head and feel superior to them. No, that's not the idea. But put it in their face, because that's what they need. They need to see this. They need to hear that Krishna is God. They need to hear that you have to surrender to Him. They need to hear that chanting Hare Krishna is the only means of spiritual deliverance in this age. They need to hear that. Whether they accept right away or not is not up to us. Krishna is in everybody's heart. And He knows when the living entity is ready. But even if they're not ready, Prabhupada said, by the time they cover their ears, it's too late. The sound already went in. We see so many times on the promenade, especially when we start right there at 3rd Street. The very first stop that we make, there's a little restaurant right there. And I notice a lot. There are people that eat outside, outdoors. And a lot of them, when we start chanting, but by the time they do that, it's too late. The mantra already went in. So this is what the Hare Krishna movement is meant for. Go out there and give people the Hare Krishna mantra. Go out there and give them Krishna is God. Go out there and give them this. How they react, then it's not under our control. We've done our job. We're assisting Lord Chaitanya in planting seeds. When they fructify, that's up to the Lord. But we should not think that we have to, you know, because I'm saying this strongly, because with every new generation of devotees that come in, there's always a percentage that think, you know, we're just maybe a little too straightforward and too, you know, open about Krishna. Maybe if we'd couch it a little bit and, you know, No. If you're in a circumstance where you have to do that, then you have no choice. In some countries, if you're a preacher there, you have to be undercover. You don't have any choice. But we're in America, for crying out loud. We don't have to hide anything. Everybody displays whoever they are. I'm tranny, I'm this, I'm that, I'm a biker dude. I mean, you know, everybody displays who they are. Why should we hide who we are? We're the Hare Krishnas. That's who we are. That's how we interface with the public. We're the Hare Krishnas. We go out and we give them Krishna consciousness. If they take right away or not, that's not up to us. That's not up to us. But we should not be hiding. This business of that we have to hide, I don't buy that. Prabhupada didn't buy it. He never hid. No matter where he was preaching, yes, he would tailor his preaching. Like if he was preaching to students at MIT, then he would ask them, where is the department that deals with the soul? And he would make them think along those lines. There should be a department in this institution of higher education that deals with the difference between a living body and a dead body. So Prabhupada would, you know, make his presentation depending on where he was. But it was always the same. Krishna is God. You're not. You're his eternal servant. Serve him. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. We know our Vijay Prabhu, our minister of education, he puts out on the internet, you know, all these nectar stories that he collects while he's traveling of Sankirtan. So I was reading one recently. I forget where it was. Maybe it was in New Zealand. One distributor was distributing books, and this woman came and eagerly took a chant and be happy. She explained why she was so eager. She said, sometime in the past, she had been really depressed, really down, didn't know what to do. She went to a park, she was sitting there, and lo and behold, there was a chant be happy on this park bench. So she picked it up, and she read it, and read it, and read it, and it just changed her whole life. But in the course of time, some friend took it from her and never returned it, so she wanted another one. So this is what Prabhupada's books have to offer. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. We don't have to, you know, yes, we may put out a sign on our table that says yoga meditation. That's all right. And they come over. But when they come over, they should know right away. We're giving you Krishna. We're not giving you some watered down, you know, do what you like kind of thing. And even when we join the movement, we forget this element of surrender. Many persons come, they join, they want to keep chanting Hare Krishna, but they don't want to surrender to authority. But this is part of human life anyway. You can't get away from that. Even if you never become a Hare Krishna, you're going to surrender to some authority. The boss at work, the wife at home, or husband, whichever way, whoever is dominant, it's not always the same. The government, you know, you may not like our current head of the government, but you don't have any choice. They change the tax law, you have to follow the new tax law. You know, if all of a sudden tomorrow they say drive on the left, this is now the official. You have to do that. You can't say, hey, for my whole life I've been driving on the right. I don't care what you guys say. No. So we all have to surrender to some kind of authority. Now, who is the best authority to surrender to? Ishvara, Krishna. So Ishvara, this is what the museum is teaching everybody. There is a supreme controller. Jiva, you're in the Jiva category. Okay, once you get over the fact that you're not God, being a Jiva is not so bad. God is eternal. You're also eternal. Okay? Where is the loss there? Our supreme controller, his master, Krishna is eternal. Being his part and parcel, we're also eternal. Is there anybody who would object to that? No, I don't want to be eternal. No, we're eternal. We can't get away from it. Now, being eternal, we can never be satisfied with temporary situations. Anything that has a beginning and an end is not going to satisfy us ultimately. So this Krishna consciousness movement, as given to us by Srila Prabhupada, is for putting us back on that platform of eternality, reawakening our eternal love for Krishna, our eternal occupation of service to Krishna. And through Krishna, then we relate to everybody else. If we try to relate directly, it doesn't work. We see that. If we leave Krishna out of the relationship equation, it doesn't work. Whether husband and wife, brother and brother, friend and friend. If Krishna's not in there, it doesn't work. It falls apart. Because ultimately, without Krishna, every one of us has some selfish agenda that we're promoting. And even your brother gets in the way, get out of my way. You see? Your wife or husband gets in the way, get out of my way. And people actually promote that. If anybody gets in your way, tell them, get out of my way. No cooperation, no sense of cooperation. Because you can't have real cooperation without Krishna in the center. You're always going to find some area, some avenue of life that you don't agree on. We may agree politically, but we don't agree on something else. Politically, I'm Republican, you're Republican, but I'm a meat eater and you're the vegan. We don't see eye to eye. You see? So there's always going to be some discrepancy, some anomaly. If Krishna's not in the picture. When Krishna's in the picture, then everything falls into place. Because we follow Krishna's instructions. This is what Prabhupada is giving us. This is what Narada Muni is promoting. And Narada Muni, we should be very excited to hear from him. Because he is the success story that we want to be. He was in the material world. And took to the path of Krishna consciousness. Became successful. Next life, Narada Muni. Now he can be anywhere he wants, material world, spiritual world. But what does he do? Narada Muni Bhajayavina, Radhika Ramana Namani. He just travels around spreading the holy name. So we can join him on that platform. We can't become Narada Muni, but we can follow in his footsteps. He took it seriously, taking the remnants of the Bhaktivedantas in his previous life, following their instructions on how to make spiritual advancement, became successful. Now he's preaching nonstop, constantly. So we can follow that. We can follow that. Even before we come to the point of perfection, we can become assistant preachers. Not preachers, assistant preachers. Prabhupada drove that point home very, very emphatically once. One devotee said to Prabhupada, you know, Srila Prabhupada, when I'm preaching, and Prabhupada immediately cut him off, what do you mean you're preaching? I'm preaching. And you're helping me. So when we start puffing ourselves and thinking that, you know, I'm such a big preacher, I know the philosophy, I can... No, immediately, puncture the balloon. Your assistant preacher keeps us in place. Otherwise, we see so many devotees, again, they become a little too puffed up by dint of knowledge. But when somebody comes and tells you something, your immediate question should be, where did you get it from? If it's something that you just manufactured in your own brain, then maybe I'm not going to listen to it. If you got it from someplace, then all glory to that source, if it's a bona fide source. Don't put yourself in between. We're out there distributing Bhagavad Gita as it is. We're not distributing Gauranga Prema version of Bhagavad Gita, right? Right? Or Deva Krishna version. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is. Please take it and read it. We don't put ourselves in between the customer and the Bhagavad Gita. So in general, we shouldn't do that. But we see devotees do that sometimes. Oh, I am preaching. What are you preaching? Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so then all glory to Bhagavad Gita. And if you preach it purely, then all glory to you too. But if you put yourself in between the Gita, the message of the Gita, and the person that you're preaching to, then there's something wrong with that picture. And we've seen that so many times. The person gets in between the message and the person that they're giving the message to, and then it becomes a problem. It becomes a problem. So Narada Muni again, pure soul, encouraging his disciple Srila Vyasadeva, who's also a pure soul. And we're privy to this conversation by dint of the cyclic succession. We know the stages of Naimisharanya, they're hearing from Sutta Goswami, and then it comes down through Srila Prabhupada to us. Our job is simply to give it to everybody as it is. Don't change, don't hesitate, don't think that you have to put yourself in there and figure out where is this. You never know. You never know who's going to take, why, and just give it to them. I remember once in New York, this was maybe 89, 90, I went out with a Harinam party in Lower Manhattan and had some, we didn't have a lot of books for the party, we had some BTGs. So I stopped, one older gentleman gave him a BTG and he said, you know, I don't have any money. I'm trying to collect some. I'm from the South. I'm trying to collect some money to go back home. And, you know, I felt a little, maybe I should just give it to him. I said, no. Prophet always encouraged, if they can give something, anything they give, they make benefits. So I said, you know, give what you can. So he said, you know, this is my last dollar, but something about you in this book, I'm going to give it to you anyway. So he gave it to me. His last dollar, he gave for a BTG. So he's benefited eternally. I didn't keep track of him. We didn't have email back then in 89, so I didn't keep track of him. But I'm sure, because he gave his last dollar and took it back to God and Magazine, Christian is going to bless him unlimitedly. So this is the way it goes. We just go out there, give people the message. Don't get in between the message and the real deliverer of the message, who is Srila Prabhupada. This is Srila Prabhupada's genius. Narad Muni says, I've given you a synopsis. This was the end of today's translation. Your good self knows all of this. I've only given you a synopsis. So Prabhupada took that synopsis, which is means a compact form, and he's expanded it. Because in Kali Yuga, we're not intelligent enough to understand the synopsis. He gives something in sutra form. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. 99.99% of people have no idea what you're saying. So Srila Prabhupada, his guru, their genius was to take that those kernels of knowledge and expand them into all these books. All these books, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta, and now Srila Prabhupada, expanded all these kernels of knowledge into vast numbers of books that can deliver the whole world. Prabhupada's books are the passport back to home, back to Godhead. And we just have to go out and represent him nicely, give people these passports back to home, back to Godhead. We'll be benefited. They'll be benefited. There's a lot more that could be said, but it's almost quarter after. If there are any questions, comments. Yes. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
You were mentioning about, or talking, you explained quite elaborately about Ishvara, and that's the surrender process. And I just want to share from my life that I heard Prabhupada say in a class that he said, people will surrender to anybody, you know, for money, you know, their boss, you know, but not to Guru and Krishna. No, I'll completely prostrate and surrender myself because people pay me, but I won't surrender to Krishna. So it's really irrational how even I was thinking, you know, and how that concept of, oh, I don't want to surrender, but I'll surrender if you pay me, though.
So, yeah, anyway. So, and that's why the preachers have to be just like Prabhupada, be expert to take somebody from wherever they are. If you listen to so many conversations Prabhupada had, he was so expert. He would give the person a chance to say who they are and what they do. And then starting from there, whether they were a race car driver or a government official or whatever, Prabhupada would then take it and show them the fault in the material thinking and how the spiritual way is superior and how you can easily attain it by this process of Krishna consciousness. Then again, if they leave and they don't take it immediately, that's okay, but at least we should be expert in giving them the path as we've gotten it from Srila Prabhupada. And of course, the best thing, as Prabhupada said, is get them to leave with a book. Because if they leave with a book, they can always pick it up and read it and pick it up again and again and again and read it like that until they get it. Something else? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for the class.
Is it on?
Yeah. Thank you for the class. We always hear Prabhupada saying that it doesn't matter if you're a Hindu, Christian, Jew, or whatever. So I wanted to just ask a question about your point when you were saying we have to go out and tell them that, you know, Krishna is like the only way. Can you explain that?
We're not saying Krishna is the only way. Do you believe in God? Let's say you're a Muslim or a Christian or whatever. Then Prabhupada would ask, well, what is your conception of God? God is great. Or whatever they say. So we can show that Krishna fits, as Prabhupada said in one place, fits completely the description of Godhead. And therefore, representing Krishna right here in Prabhupada's garden. He had a meeting once with all these religious professors and like that. So Prabhupada asked them, do you know who God is? Well, no, we don't know. They had to admit. He said, then you're not a theologian, you're a theosophist. A theosophist is somebody who's searching after God. Logi, when you put in that suffix, L-O-G-Y, it means science. That means you already know. So if you're a theologian, you're supposed to already know God. So if you admit that you don't know God, and I'm telling you that Krishna is God, why don't you accept? Why don't you accept? You see, they're just irrational. They're just irrational. And if somebody's irrational, what can you do? At least you put the bug in their ear. Krishna is God. Now, you may have some other name for God, which may be valid, but Krishna, as presented by the Vedic literature, is a complete presentation of the personality of God. Full strength, full wealth, full knowledge, full fame, full renunciation. Everything is there, complete in Krishna. So why don't you accept? So when Prabhupada asked them, you can see, I think it was actually, there's a video of it. When Prabhupada asked them, why don't you accept? They were stunned. They couldn't, there's nothing to say. Because you can't disprove that Krishna is God. You cannot say, you may say, I don't accept, but you can't disprove it. Because there are so many great personalities like Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so many great personalities who accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Are you going to argue with Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur? No. You may accept or not, that's up to you, based on whatever conception you have. So that's what we do. We present Krishna not on the strength of our understanding, but on the strength of the predecessor Acharya's acceptance. And once we do that, then our job is done, if they accept or not. And we're not doing it in some kind of, you know, accept Krishna or die kind of way. Not like that. We're saying it's a very reasonable, rational presentation coming from A.C. Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Prabhupada and on the predecessor Acharya's. Can you at least read it and see what you think? And if they read it and don't accept, like I've told the story, I was in Penn Station on a Sunday, and this very well-dressed guy came through, suit, tie, and everything. So I stopped him, gave him the Bhagavad Gita. He said, no, I don't. I said, have you ever read this book? And Krishna just inspired me to ask him. He said, yes, I've read that book. I said, oh, so what do you think? He said, well, I don't accept it because it makes me responsible for what I do. See? Super Soul made him say that because that's what he was really thinking. Maybe he didn't want to say it, but it came out like that. I don't want to accept it because it makes me responsible for what I do. So I asked him, aren't you ordinarily responsible for what you do? He was stunned. So we had a little conversation. Turned out he's a Christian minister. He was on his way to church to preach. He had read Bhagavad Gita, but he doesn't want to accept it because it makes him responsible for what he does, like slaughtering animals and eating them and stuff like that. So you see, they consciously try to get around it, but you can. If you're actually a little bit intelligent and that knowledge goes in there, you have to surrender. You have to surrender. There's really no argument against Krishna consciousness. There's ultimately no argument except our own recalcitrance, our own stubborn reluctance to surrender to Krishna. So once we admit that, then there's only one way to go. Just give it up. Give up the reluctance. Give up the, being unnecessarily opposed and just surrender.
Well, is it possible, how can you stay in your religion and be Krishna conscious at the same time?
How can you stay within your religion? Well, it'll be a gradual process to be sure. I mean, if you follow some religious process that allows you to eat meat. But if you go back far enough in time, like in Christianity, you'll see that they promoted vegetarianism at one point. And even those who ate meat, it was once a while, and once on a certain day, just like in the Vedas, once on a dark moon night, you're allowed to slaughter a goat, never a cow. So there really were stronger rules and restrictions in the past, in all of these religious processes. And if they had remained true to their roots, they would be practicing a lot differently than they do today. And they would make more rapid progress towards the ultimate goal. But because they've introduced politics into their religion, they've introduced whimsical decisions, they even write. Because in Catholicism, for example, there used to be, no use of contraceptives, there were very strict rules about male-female union. And over time, the lay people didn't like it, so they wanted to change it. Instead of the heads telling the lay people what to do, the laity now are telling the heads what to do. Keep the bishops out of the bedroom. In other words, we want to do whatever we want to do. But you can't do whatever you want to do and get the ultimate goal. You can't. It doesn't work like that. It's just like if you go to school. You have to attend classes. You have to take this test. There are rules and regulations. If you don't do it, you're not going to get that degree. So if you want, ask them, what is the ultimate goal of your religion? If you want to achieve that ultimate goal, then you have to follow the process. You can't define the process yourself and then think you're going to get the whole ultimate goal. Anyway, it's a lot of things that could be said, but time is up. We'll stop here. Thank you very much. Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai.
Hey. Yeah.
You know, the mudslides they had recently after the rains.
Yeah.
A lot of people got washed away. Their homes got destroyed.